Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bears gifts of mercy for all. Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor. God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy poured out on us richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God give you faith to trust Jesus, who is love born for you, now and always. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord. I'd like the congregation to please read the bold print. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, it comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them,
Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If someone tells you that they are filled with the Spirit, how often do you think they are full of something else? Now, we're to take the Holy Spirit seriously, yet I believe we do so with some caution because we see how the Holy Spirit is used to manipulate people in promoting their own self-serving agenda. The Holy Spirit has not been proclaimed always as a liberating force, but a weapon used to shackle people. Now, as Lutherans, we seldom get the image of a holy roller when you think of a Lutheran. But you've heard me teach and preach that we are very much a Holy Spirit denomination because our theology hinges on the Holy Spirit giving us the gift of faith. Luther's notorious, "I believe that I cannot believe. I believe that I cannot believe by my own understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord." In his explanation of the third article of the Creed in the Small Catechism, affirms that our ability to know Jesus as Lord is done so by the Holy Spirit. And in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is filled with the power of the Spirit. And filled with that power, Jesus is teaching in the synagogues. Jesus is proclaiming a word that is not about serving him. It's about proclaiming a release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. The ministry of Jesus, the way of Jesus, is about ensuring that everyone who was created in the image and likeness of God. This past week, we celebrated the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There are some who acknowledge his legacy and do so in order to whitewash the horror that was the reality of our recent history and to neglect the pain and struggle that still exists in our society today. Christian ethicist David Gushee wrote that when Dr. King was murdered on April 4th, 1968, he was a deeply polarizing character. He was a hero to a minority of people, but to others he was a troublemaker and a rabble-rouser. Gushee said that people actually did cheer in many places in the United States when news broke that Dr. King was dead. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christian and a pastor that I believe was filled with the Holy Spirit and in doing so made the civil rights movement a religious movement as well. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Martin Luther King Jr. was seeking justice in his day. And for him, it was seeking it for today, as Jesus proclaims, that we are to embody the good news of Jesus Christ, that the oppressed would not incrementally be freer in our society, but they would be fully free today. And that is a Spirit-filled and gospel-led witness. Some use the Holy Spirit so that they can have private jets and large homes. Some use the Holy Spirit so they can control and oppress people and then dehumanize them when they fall out of line, when they fall out of the moral lines they have drawn up and turn into idols. But the Holy Spirit that is actually at work, that fills us with the gift of faith, does not call us to bound people with legal restrictions, but with good news that affirms their dignity, that affirms the dignity of every person, and then invites them to be nurtured in the new life that we have in the God who is love. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Any religion that professes to be concerned about the souls of men and not concerned about the slums that damn them, the economic conditions that strangle them, and the social conditions that cripple them is a spiritually moribund religion awaiting burial." Quite frankly, I believe that's one of the reasons the church in North America and in the Western world has struggled. In my lifetime, it has tried to gain back its relevance through music and reflecting the culture in various ways. Claims to be listening to the Holy Spirit, but at times filled with its own desires and ignoring the very call of the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow." The good news is that God will not abandon us. The reality is we will reap what we sow. What Jesus proclaims in the gospel lesson today is happening. And it will happen whether we like it or not. And filled with the Holy Spirit, we're called to be part of that process where people experience God's desire for all to be free. To be free and released from the restrictions of this dark and broken world. We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's saints like Martin Luther King Jr. that remind us that the Holy Spirit works within us. Working within us so that we would be moved to be concerned to the needs of the other. That we would be reminded that the life of a Christian is not solely concerned with me, but with the needs of my neighbor, with the other. That the Holy Spirit motivates me even to love and pray for my enemy. The night before he was killed, Dr. King said, "We need all of you. And you know what's beautiful to me is to see all these ministers of the gospel. It's a marvelous picture. Who is it that is supposed to articulate the longings and aspirations of the people more than the preacher? Somehow the preacher must be in Amos and say, 'Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.' Somehow the preacher must say with Jesus, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to deal with the problems of the poor.' Now in holy baptism, we all become ministers of the gospel. We are all invited to say with Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to deal with the problems of the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized. It is holy baptism. It is the Holy Spirit in holy baptism that claims us. It is the Holy Spirit that gathers us together today for worship, and it is the Holy Spirit that will send us out into the world to share the love of Jesus. When we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that our Lord is concerned with the needs of those who needed to be freed today and not tomorrow. The people that Jesus was often with caused scandal, and filled with the Spirit, Jesus was sent to cross the lines of that this world has arbitrarily drawn and minister in those spaces to those people that needed to receive the good news. When we mean what we say, when we talk about the way of Jesus, when it's not just abstractly helping those who are oppressed, but taking it seriously and challenging people and asking people to do it, that's when it gets uncomfortable. That's when we get resistance. And that's when people leave and say, "You're not a real Christian." But hear that the good news is for you too, as it is for all people. But hear that the good news is not just for you. Share the love. Share the freedom that you experience in Christ Jesus. We hear Jesus quote from the scripture that he is reading that he is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's in reference to the Jubilee year, a reference to slaves and prisoners being freed and debts forgiven. Imagine the outrage if such a biblical concept was proposed in our society today. Yet we can be humbled by the forgiveness we've received from God. We can be humbled by the grace that we get that we do not deserve, and then extend that mercy we receive from God to others. Father John Baumgartner says that a Jubilee year is a year in which people are invited to see the world not through our own eyes, but through God's eyes. With the Spirit of the Lord upon us, sent from this place, enabled to see the world through God's eyes, that all people are created in the image and likeness of God, that those who are captive to the sin and brokenness of this world need to be freed, need to be loved, need to be ministered to, that those are the places God wants us to go. Those are the places where God Himself is present. And that we know that we can go to those places, that God's love knows no limits, because God is always with us. God has saved us for this new creation, and we can see this new creation breaking in our world today, knowing that the love of God is alive and well in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. You reveal yourself to us in the reading of Scripture. Fulfill your word through the faithful witness of your church. Send us out to bring your liberating good news to all people. God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace. All creation proclaims your handiwork. Teach us to love the intricate and beautiful bodies that you have created. Bless tiny insects, enormous whales, and every creature in between. Sustain species at risk of extinction. God of grace. You desire that there be no dissension among us. Where we are divided in our society, nation, or world, come quickly to reunite us into one body. Ease conflict, dispel violence, and bring an end to war. God of grace. Anoint with your spirit all who seek your favor. Grant provision and justice for people living in poverty, people living with disability, those living with pain, and those living under oppression. We especially pray for the Beale family, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. We give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see the needs of all entrusted to their care. God of grace. Build up the body of Christ in this place. Bless the variety of ministries in this congregation. Empower us to freely welcome and deeply value each person who enters into worship and ministry among us. God of grace. Holy God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. God of grace. In thanksgiving, we lift before you the saints for whom the promise of salvation has now been fulfilled. Tend to those who mourn. Bring us together in your everlasting glory. God of grace.
We have such great hope in your promises, O God. We lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
We continue with an offering. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ our light.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
Holy God, author of time, one among us, breath of our bodies, you are as close to us as skin is and infinite as stars. You come to us as Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter and rabbi, who in the night in which he's betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim today the Lord's blessing, present in our time just as in ages past, building the communion of saints even from our own bodies. Bless us with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let your Holy Spirit infuse our hearts and minds with joy so that we may live to praise you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. You may be seated. This time I invite forward our communion assistants, and anyone who will be participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuously. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There will be two stations for wine, but if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups and release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come up and indicate your preference of wine or grape juice when you receive. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to God's table. There's a place for you and enough for all. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your house. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all, strengthened with the richness of your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community. Steve.
Yeah, just a reminder that the giving statements for 2021 are available. They're on the table to your right as you leave the church.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community, share the love of Jesus. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in, today and forever.
go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.